just putting together the Christmas Eve service last night. Just amazing, amazing time as always. Six degree weather. People came out and had a great, great time as always. We're not going to keep you long today. We appreciate your coming out on Christmas Day, again in cold weather, to Merry Christmas, to worship and to have fellowship. And the title of this message is "They Bowed Down and They Worshiped Him," and it comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm going to share this verse, and I'll share a little bit about how this word came about. A familiar passage. Most of us have heard it, I'm sure. Matthew 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came from Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." So they were on a mission. They were on a mission specifically to find him and to worship him. It's really important for us to get that. We started out with that song today. We've come to worship you. It's why we're here. We're not here for any attention. We're not here for any other reason. Anytime we gather, we're here to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. He's the king, you know, and there's this new king. There's this king that's been born that they've come to worship, and, you know, his kingship is threatened by, you know, by these wise men. So when he called them together, all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." That wasn't his plan. That's what he told them anyway. "So that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, Lord's good, he prepared them, they returned to their country by another route. So 2 weeks ago, when Pastor Ben was teaching his message that was called King Jesus, that could have very easily been a Christmas message. It was a Christmas message. That Sunday during worship, as often happens, just different people were worshiping throughout the room, and people were bowed down. And there's something about when that happens during worship, when it just propels us into this place of submission, this place of reverence, this place of wanting to give him glory and honor. Again, that's why we're here. That's why we came today. We have come to worship him. But there's something about that. So when I was down here at one point and just kneeling and worshiping, and this was just deposited in me for this message for Christmas, that he wants us always with that kind of a mindset to come to him and worship him because he's worthy. Whether we're having a good day or a bad day, whether our plans work out the way we want them to work out, he's worthy to be worshiped. Whether we have a problem we're going through, he's worthy to be worshiped, and because he saved us. He saved us of our sin. And that's something that we can't ever have enough reverence or praise or thanks for. So we bow down. And there's something that he said, and there's no requirement that we physically, you know, bow down and worship, but there's something about that that has relevance, and I would encourage every one of you at some point even today, whether it's in this room or in the privacy of your home or wherever you are, to take a moment, if you're able to get down on your knees, to do so. There's something And I can't explain it. I don't know what it is. But there's a perhaps it's a humility in that, of just physically taking that place of bowing down to him. And again, I don't have any idea what he'll do in response to that. Maybe there'll be no particular response, but maybe there will be, because I believe he responds to our obedience when we simply say, "I'm submitting myself to you." And the physicality of that, again, you know, some may view it as just a religious act, and of course it can be. If that's all it is, then there won't be a big response. You won't get a whole lot from it. But if it comes from a bowed down heart, a bowed down life, and just a moment where you say, "I want to just bow before you." So I encourage you, you don't have to tell anybody about it, just do it. It can be private, it can be public, whatever, but it's not for, never necessarily for the public. You know, whenever people do that around here, they're not trying to be religious, they're not trying to say, "I'm more spiritual than you." Nothing about that. It's a demonstration of a bowed down heart. So as I was preparing for this, the Lord just kept showing me scripture after scripture after scripture. There's so many benefits of living a life that is just bowed down to him. So many benefits that we don't, and I don't know that we put them all together until I was looking at it like this, you know, that boy, the things that he does when we are bowed down to him. And so if the first one is from Psalm 146, 8, the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. If you need a lift from the King of Kings, from the Lord our Savior, just bow down to him. Just bow down to him. Bow down to him. And if you live that way, if you live that way, he's going to be lifting you up all the time. And when I say lift up, I don't know what all that necessarily means. It's not like you're going to be the center of attention. That's not what this is about. But he may lift you up and use you in ways that you never thought you could be used, because you think, "I'm not worthy," or "I don't have enough to offer," or "I don't have this to bring." But you live your life in a bowed down way, he's going to lift you up and use you in powerful, powerful ways. Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. There's an example in the scripture, and I hadn't planned on using this one, from Luke. This is an example of a woman who was crippled, and was bent over in the way she lived her life. She was bent over, and so in this example, Luke 13, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman who was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. It really caught my attention, because she caught Jesus' attention. She caught Jesus' attention. And it was her affliction, but the reality is she was bent over. She was physically bowed down to him. And for whatever reason, that caught his attention. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. So there was just something. So whatever reason, sometimes we're maybe bowed down, and maybe it's because we're depressed. You know, sometimes people hold their heads down because they're feeling low. Maybe your head's bent down because you've got burdens that you're carrying. You've got stresses on your life. Maybe there is a physical thing. Or maybe it's just simply a reverence for the King of Kings. Whatever the reason is, he wants us to live a bowed down life. And he lifts us up. He lifts us up. He lifts us up when we come with that kind of a mindset and that kind of a posture. Pastor Shane talked about the posture. Just the posture that we, what's our posture in life? I would present to you that living a posture of a bowed down life is the best possible posture you could ever live. You could ever live. So he lifts up those who are bowed down. Another benefit, Psalm 18:27. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. And most of the rest of these scriptures are going to talk about just humility. Humility, again, the physical act of bowing down, there's a humility in that. Of saying, "I'm not all that. I know who is, and he's Jesus. And I'm going to submit to him. I'm going to bow down to him." And it says he saves us. He saves the humble. He saves those. And again, whether that's just salvation or if it's saving you from some situation where you're vulnerable, but you live a bowed down life, he will intervene on your behalf as you bow down. As you bow down, as you surrender it, as you surrender it. Don't hold on to the things. Don't hold on to things. Surrender them. Benefits of a bowed down life, Psalm 25:9. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Live a bowed down life and he's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. The very passage that led me to Jesus in 1979. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. Lean not on your own understanding. He will direct your path. 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 And he does. He does. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. If there's some way that you're not acknowledging him, he guides. He will guide you as you submit it to him. He guides the humble in what is right. He'll show you the right way. There's a lot of teaching out there that's telling people the wrong way. And he'll teach you. He'll teach you. I prayed that prayer in 1979, and there has never been a time when I wanted to look back from that, because he proved himself almost immediately how good he is, how faithful he is. I was 20 years old. I'm 63. Not boasting about anything except the goodness of Jesus, because he's faithful. Live a bowed down life and he will guide you. He will show you the right way every day, every single day. If we're heading down a wrong path and we're still in pursuit of him, but we're somehow veered off, he will help to steer you back on track. Or he'll bring somebody in your life to help you do that. He will teach you the right way. He will teach you the right way. He's still teaching us the right way. We just wrapped up a Men's Conquer series about issues of purity. We'll be resuming a whole new group in January and part two for those who were in the first part. He's still guiding us and directing us. We still have things to learn. We have not arrived. We have not arrived. Part of living a bowed down life means we recognize it's not complete yet. Jesus completed his work, but it's still manifesting in our life in real and practical ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. The Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. There's a sustenance that we have in Jesus. There's a sustenance that we have. That means people may call it grit. People may call it endurance. People may put all kinds of other terms on it. But he sustains us. Anything that helps us to keep going, it comes from him. He shows, because he shows us the way. And as he shows us the way and we obey what he shows us, It works. If he shows us the way and we ignore it, we get what we get. He sustains the humble. Psalm 149:4, the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Crowns the humble with victory. We wrapped up our word for the year. Word for the year is more than conquerors. We have seen many victories this year. There's more to come. Everything we prayed for didn't happen. But we're still at it. But we stay bowed down. We stay bowed down. We stay bowed down. More victories are to be had. More victories are to be had. I was at the beginning of the year, had my lists when we were engaged in some of the fasts at the beginning of the year, and I had my lists of different ones that this conquer word just resonated with me to pray for, and one of them was one of my nephews, and he's a talented writer. An accomplished writer, has published books, has been on the New York Times bestseller list numerous times, travels the country speaking, he's very successful. He will acknowledge to some degree that he knows about Jesus, but there's not a personal relationship there. He's married, has two kids, and this week, Connie said to me, we've got to pray for Austin. He's having a lot of physical pain going on. And it turned out it was kidney stones. And when she told me, because he's been on my list all year, just all year, just praying for Lord to break through the intellectual understanding of things. And again, nothing wrong with having a strong intellect. That's a good thing. But if I'm relying on it and only it, then I'm missing out on the hope of Jesus and the things of Christ. And so I said to her, well, don't underestimate what pain can do in a person's life, you know, to bring them to Jesus. And so, you know, we just prayed for him and we're getting reports from his mother, you know, about what's going on with him. And so he was, the next report we got was that he was in such pain he was going to go to the emergency room. And so we prayed. And so before he went to the emergency room, he said, I'm going to go get a shower. And he told his mother this in a phone call. No, she may be down there visiting. I can't remember. They live in Austin, Texas. And he said that when he went to the shower, he prayed. He prayed that he would pass the stone. He came out of the shower and he passed the stone. Yeah. Now, I haven't heard any follow-up reports on whether what this did to his relationship with Jesus. I would love to be able to report to you that, you know, that he's now a follower of Jesus and has surrendered, and I'd love to be able to say that, and I can't because I don't know that. But that's the next level of my prayer. He gives us victory. He gives us victory, but we have to stay bowed down. We have to stay bowed down. We have to stay bowed down. He deserves all the glory. We sing that song. You deserve the glory and the honor. So I lift my hands and praise you. He deserves the glory. He and he alone. But he takes delight in his people. He takes delight in us when we're bowed down to him and loves to bring us victories. And you may be in this room saying, when's mine coming? I don't know. Maybe you're still waiting for something. Stay bowed down. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. 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 Supernatural solutions for complicated problems. That's wisdom. Supernatural solutions for complicated problems. He'll give us wisdom, we stay bowed down. If we think we know it all, well, I don't have to present this request to him because I already know the answer. Or I can figure that out on my own. I used to think that was just a male thing, but it's not just a male thing. Women can do it too. I have a wife. That's not a criticism, it's just a fact. Stay bowed down. Stay bowed down. Give you wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. Things that, again, you can't figure out yourself. Creative solutions to problems that maybe have been besetting you for a long time. He'll give you a creative answer. Wisdom. Humility is the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 22:4 says. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches, honor, and life. Stay bowed down, you'll have riches. Now, I don't necessarily mean financial riches, earthly riches. That can be part of the equation, but that's so much less important. He can bless however he wants to bless, but there's riches. There's riches of, again, wisdom, riches of love, riches of grace. I could go on just the rest of this time just filling in the riches that he provides for us. Honor. He'll give you honor. Now, he won't give you his glory, but he'll give you honor. His honor. Lift it up. He lifts up those who are bowed down. Life. Life. Not death, life. life, not death. Something rich about that. Then we begin to embrace life in Him. Benefits of living a bowed down life. Finally, Proverbs 3:34, He shows favor to the humble. This one's a hard one to explain, really. You don't know it until you live in it. But I know in my years of following Him, I could be here all day filling in testimonies of times when He just gave favor to me in the workplace, in the worldly workplace, that I could have never achieved in my own strength or in my own understanding and my own figuring it out. So many examples. He gives favor, but you have to be bowed down. You got to stay bowed down. No matter how many victories you win, no matter how many blessings you receive, no matter how many favors, how many examples of favor He works in you, He deserves the glory, and you stay bowed down. He gets the credit. He gets the glory. He gets the attention. Benefits of living a bowed down life. So when they sought out Jesus for one purpose and one purpose alone, so that they might worship Him, they understood what their goal was. And we saw in the example, when they got there, that's what they did. They didn't forget their mission. We can sometimes forget our mission. I don't know about you. I remember several years ago, this was quite a few years ago, when I think I was still working at the Morning Journal. I remember I worked the evening shift at times, and I remember I'd come home, I'd be driving home, and I'd think, oh, when I get home, I'm going to just spend some time with Jesus. But then when I got home, sometimes I didn't do that. I'd find something else to do. There would be something else that demanded my attention, or at least I thought demanded my attention, and I didn't do it. They didn't lose mission. They didn't lose their mission. When they found Jesus, they even told Herod what they were going to do. And when they got there, they could have been fearful. They could have been fearful. But they got there and they worshiped Him. They bowed down and they worshiped Him. So in James, I have just three more verses and we're wrapping this up. In James, we see these very somewhat harsh words. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Now, let me just clarify here. Friendship with the world system doesn't mean we can't have friends who are in the world. Every one of us has friends who are in the world, and we need to. If we shut out all of our friends who don't know Jesus, where are we shining light? Where are we shining light? So, don't misunderstand what that means. It doesn't mean cut off all your friends who are from the world, because that would be counterproductive in terms of what our mission is. But it does mean the world system. The world system. The world systems don't follow the scriptures. They don't adhere to the truths of scriptures. So don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that He jealously longs for the Spirit He has caused to dwell in us? That Spirit that prompts you to bow down, that Spirit that prompts you to surrender yourself, that Spirit that prompts you to give it all to Him. He gives us more grace. That's why the Scripture said God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. And it doesn't mean that we're walking around the whole time, just mourning and in a low state, because he'll lift you up. But there are times when sin should do that. There are times when sinful situations that we observe should bring us to that place of mourning, of lamenting. We did a prayer series a number of years ago, and there's a whole section there called lamenting prayers, and it was really revelatory of what happens when we see these situations that grieve us. Do they take us to prayer? Do they take us to our knees? They should. They should. He says, humble yourselves and he'll lift you up. And 1 Peter 5:5 says, all of you, he's speaking this to everybody, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. This is a word for us as a people. Clothe yourselves toward humility with one another. Because we're human beings and we fall short and we haven't arrived yet. And we still have work to do. And we've talked a lot about this year, how the Lord has blessed us with his presence in such abundant ways, because I believe as a body we're learning to do things together, and we're learning even more so than ever before. This whole call to fasting I've referenced so many times this year as we came together as a church to say we're fasting for one another, we're sacrificing meals for one another so that we can hear from God and we can see him do things supernaturally that we can't do for ourselves. And I saw a body coming together in those ways. And I've said it over and over and over again, the enemy hates that. We have an enemy who hates that. He hates that. And so he wants us to not have humility for one another. He wants us to not have that. He wants us to have aught against one another. Because that will stop short every time. That'll stop short every time the flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So he wants us to stay bowed down. And again, you know, we are imperfect, and I understand there'll be issues at times. We surrender them. We work them out. Whatever they are. He'll oppose the proud, but he'll show favor to the humble. Really important. Final scripture. As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Worthy of the calling you received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Only way we can do that, only way that is remotely possible, is by staying bowed down, staying in full submission. Got a text this week from someone who, again, it was over a situation many have been praying for. And there was a breakthrough. There was a breakthrough in a family situation that only God can do. Again, only God can do. Only God can do. Only God can do. And as I was thinking about victories won, This last week of the year, he's still hearing us. He's still hearing us. We're still more than conquerors through him who gives us everything we need to conquer. But as I was thinking about this, when you hear a good report, when you hear a good report, what's your reaction to it? Bow down, submit yourselves, because the one who did it is worthy of your praise. The one who did it always is the one who's worthy. As we close out our last Sunday morning service of 2022, you can do whatever you want. It'd be awesome if you just spread across this room and just bow down to him, whatever that looks like. You don't have to do it. Don't do it for anybody else but Jesus. Don't do it because I'm putting it out there. But my encouragement is, don't just do it once. Do it in your home when no one's there to distract you, maybe. Unless you have a bunch of kids like many of you do. I'm going to pray. We'll have at least one song here. It's not just a physical act of bowing. That could be part of it. It could be a start, or it could be something that you've just never done before. but it has everything to do with a bowed down heart and a bowed down mind and a bowed down life. And we've listed a lot of benefits to it. Don't do it just for the benefits. Someone could look at that and say, oh, those are some great benefits. I think I'll do that. If it's not real, you'll see right through it. But if it's real, do it. Do it. And do it again and again and again and again. And just watch Him work in your life. Father, I just thank You. I thank You for this day. We have come to worship You. We have come to give You praise. We have come to submit ourselves to You. We thank You that You're so good. You're so faithful. You're so faithful to us. We thank You for victories won in 2022. I pray for my nephew, Austin, right now. Pray for Austin right now. That this passing of this kidney stone would lead him to his knees, bring him to his knees. This wouldn't just be a once and done thing that he'll forget about, but a reminder of how good You are. That You would love full submission. Full submission. Give You all the praise today. Thank You for all who came out today to celebrate Jesus today. Give You all the praise, Jesus. It's in Your name I pray.